In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts and confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God,
who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you, and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us, and has given us his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God, and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
The Lord is near to the brokenhearted,
and saves the crushed in spirit.
I will bless the Lord at all times.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord.
Let the humble hear and be glad.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me.
And let us exalt his name together.
I sought the Lord, and he answered me,
and delivered me from all my fears.
When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears,
and delivers them out of all their troubles.
Thank you. Let us pray. O God, your divine wisdom sets in order all things in heaven and on earth. Put away from us all things hurtful, and give us those things which are beneficial for us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Angel's Tide is from the book of Ecclesiastes, the fifth chapter. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has it to their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much. But the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. There is a grievous evil which I have seen under the sun. Riches that were kept by the owner for his hurt. And those riches were lost in a bad venture. And he is a father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand. This is also a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for the wind? Moreover, all the days he eats in darkness, in much vexation and sickness and anger. Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun for the few days of life that God has given him. For this is his lot. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil. This is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the way of your testimonies I delight,
as much as your law teaches.
How can a young man keep his way pure?
By guarding it according to your word.
With my whole heart I seek you.
Let me not wander from your commandments.
I have stored up your word in my heart,
that I might not sin against you.
Blessed are you, O Lord.
Teaching your statutes.
With my lips I declare
all the just decrees of your mouth.
In the way of your testimonies I delight,
as much as in all riches.
I will meditate on your precepts,
and fix my eyes on your ways.
I will delight in your statutes.
I will not forget your word. Glory be to God, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
In the way of your testimonies I delight,
as much as in all riches.
The reading from the letters is from the letter to the Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with all those who listened. For we who have believed enter into that rest, as he has said, "As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Although his works are finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, "And God rested on the seventh day from all his works." And again, in this passage, he said, "They shall not enter my rest." Since that, therefore, it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter it because of disobedience, again, he appoints a certain day. Today, saying through David so long afterwards, in the words already quoted, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart." For Joshua had given them rest. God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath of rest for God's people. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do we believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended
Mercy and peace from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is Mark, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 23rd verse, and we will start there. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." Now that shouldn't be a surprise to us. The Old Testament says often enough in the Psalms and Proverbs, and even in today's lesson from Ecclesiastes, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money. And we have seen, if not in our own lives, then in history and in stories, how the hunger for wealth corrupts. How no matter how much we have, it is never enough. We want more. And that may be the key issue. The things of this broken world will never satisfy us in the long run. They will always disappoint us sooner or later. But the disciples were surprised. They were amazed at his words. Because from the world's point of view, wealth implies success. And we all want to be successful, don't we? Who doesn't want to be independent and strong? Who doesn't want to be their own master? See the problem? To seek the things of this world is to turn away from God. A hunger for wealth is like an open wound. It's sore and nagging.
and it betrays our heart. Wealth isn't the only form of idolatry either. It isn't the only thing that is whispered in our ear, "You don't need God for this. You've got it covered." We have all put our hopes in something else. At one time or another, our strength, our cleverness, we have all treasured things that were no more than torn and rusted trinkets in God's sight. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Those false, decaying treasures can never make it into the kingdom of God. Jesus said to his disciples again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Luther put it into perspective, I think. He wrote a note, apparently to himself, but certainly for our benefit. "We are all beggars. This is true." That should have us thinking about something else, Jesus said. "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Wealth is a problem. And not just the size of our bank account, but in any way, intellect, good looks, physical strength, that leaves us feeling that we're okay, that we don't need God's help, that we are fine on our own, because we are not fine on our own. We are all beggars. And that is a good thing for us to understand. None of us could ever be rich enough or strong enough or beautiful enough to enter the kingdom of God on our own merits. That is why Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." That's God's promise to us. All things are possible with him. It isn't possible for one man to pay for the sins of another, except that Jesus did it. It's not possible to rise from the dead, except Jesus did it. Jesus became one of us to do the impossible and rescue us from the slavery of sin by giving up his own life, by shedding his own blood. He did that to accomplish the impossible, to draw us through the eye of a needle, stripping away all of the filthy rags and worthless trinkets that were attached to us. But Jesus hadn't done that yet when he was talking to the disciples. So perhaps we can understand Peter's reaction. He said, "See, we have left everything and followed you." I think the implied question is, we've done enough, haven't we, to enter the kingdom? The answer Jesus gave was comforting, well, mostly. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this lifetime houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." We have a promise that even in this life, turning back to God, and in doing that, turning away from the sin, from the things that would destroy us, will be rewarded.
We may not have given up much yet, but look around you. Already we see our family in Christ, our brothers and sisters and mothers and children. We have God's sure promise that He will provide. He gives us our daily bread. He puts us in families for His name's sake. And there is even more comfort. Did you notice that in the list of things we receive, it doesn't mention fathers? Because we have one Father. We are one family with one Father now and in the age to come to eternal life. You might have noticed, too, that in that list, he said we would have persecution. We have God's love. We have His promises to provide and to protect us. But there will be affliction, too. We are struggling not just against our own weak flesh, but against spiritual forces of evil, too. The world hates us. It hates us because our Father gives us what we need and because of our confidence in His love. It hates us because in the world, families are fragile, jobs are fragile, all the necessities of life, in fact, are fragile, but God is not. We have confidence in His love, in His mercy, in His might, and His majesty. If we have wealth, we rejoice in Him. If we struggle, we rejoice in Him, for He is always with us. He is with us in good times. As in the Old Testament lesson, He says, "Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them, and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil. This is a gift of God, for he will not much remember the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart." He comes to us in the bad times too. Even when we were his enemies, God sent out his word and healed us and delivered us from our destruction. Our salvation is impossible. So let us rest in the arms of our Father, in whom nothing is impossible. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. O God, with us salvation is impossible, but with you all things are possible. Give boldness to your church to proclaim Jesus Christ our Lord, by whose death and resurrection the way to your kingdom has been opened. Lord, in your mercy, spare the servants of your church from love of wealth and from fear of the difficulty of their task, that they would gladly set aside every comfort for your sake and for the gospel. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, lead our households to find eternal rest in your Son and his word. Give fathers and mothers diligence in teaching their children. Preserve us from hardness of heart. Give us urgency to hear the good message of salvation today. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, through holy baptism, we are joined to Christ's death and resurrection and born again as children of God. Bless Rachel St. John, newly baptized into Christ, that she and all who are baptized may grasp ever more deeply the gift and blessing of baptism and walk in newness of life that you have given us. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, guide our nation and its leaders in true wisdom to promote honest labor, temporal protection, and fitting employment under the sun. Guide your Christians to serve Christ in their citizenship and callings. Do not let our hearts be occupied with the vanity of riches that perish, but with the true joy of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. When the righteous cry, you hear, O Lord, and deliver them out of their troubles. Draw near to save the brokenhearted, the crushed in spirit, the sick, and those in need, those in peril, especially Martin, Melanie, Alba Ruba, Eliza Reinhardt, Nancy Roberts, Ted Roberts, David Salistio, Michelle Studlian, Karen Tyson, Stan Thomas, Luann Trigo, Carol Wade, Judy Ward, Danielle Webster, Mark Sharon, Dave Rankin, and the Reverend Dr. Timothy Yaden and Ruth. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.